and welcome back to the Gucci Podcast. This episode is part of a mini-series focusing on contemporary beauty through the female gaze. The series host is journalist and beauty editor Fumi Feto. And today, her guest is London-based Esther Magyar, self-proclaimed makeup activist, beauty disruptor, and founder of the Ugly Makeup Revolution. Together, they discuss how Esther moved into conceptual makeup, how she combines social criticism with human aesthetics through her work, and the creative ethos behind her Instagram account, at Makeup Brutalism.
Hello everyone, my name is Fumi Feto. I'm a journalist and a beauty editor, and it gives me great pleasure to be on here on the Gucci Podcast. Today I'm speaking with the boundary-pushing makeup artist and makeup activist, Esther Magyar. Esther, welcome and thank you so much for joining me.
Hello everyone, it's super nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you here. I love your work. So as I was, you know, as I was thinking about this, how to introduce you, Esther, I really had to think about that. You know, you've been called a beauty terrorist, you've been called a makeup activist and a makeup artist. And yet so much of your work, however, isn't really about makeup in the traditional sense. In fact, there's so many situations where you don't actually use any makeup at all. You know, you experiment with hair, plastic dolls, raw meat, which was a bit of an ode to Lady Gaga. So it's almost impossible to put you in any kind of box, but I'm sure that's exactly what you want to avoid. So I guess what I want to ask is, how would you describe yourself and how would you describe what you do?
Yeah, it's really not an easy thing to describe myself, even for me. If you ask me today what I am or what I am doing, I would say that I'm a visual creator who loves to mix social criticism with human aesthetics. But I only say that because this is a huge box. You can fit everything in here. And for me, I think the key for me here is that I love to change and I love to let myself change. I need space to explore everything, what really interests me. But to be honest, it was not always like this. There is an evolution of makeup brutalism because when I started, it was so much more simpler. It was a side project of a makeup artist. It was nothing conceptual, but texture experiments, I guess. But now it is so much more conceptual than that. A lot of new questions just popped in with all the new projects. And it's like a totally different project, makeup brutalism, now what it was like 2 years ago.
And we'll talk about makeup brutalism actually in a bit, because I want everyone who isn't aware of it really should go and look it up on Instagram. It's quite phenomenal. And we'll talk about that in more detail as we go on. One of the first things I noticed about you when we met was the gap between your tooth, you know, the gap between your front teeth, which I absolutely love. It actually reminds me of my mother because she has a gap in her front teeth. And you were bullied for this as a child, but it's something that you now love and you celebrate. And I found this particularly interesting considering what we're seeing now on social media. We're seeing a lot of people on TikTok who are obsessed with perfect teeth or what they consider perfect teeth, you know, to the point where they're filing their teeth down with metal files or they're bleaching them with household bleach concoctions to make them whiter. You are you and the ethos of what you do tend to go in the opposite direction of what everyone considers beautiful or perfect. But what I'm interested to know is whether this was always how you were. You know, what was your early concept of beauty?
Yeah, I have a really significant memory with my mom when I was pretty small. And I remember I told him that, "Mom, you are the most beautiful." And my mom just looked at me and said, you know, maybe I'm not the most beautiful. Maybe I'm not beautiful at all, but I'm super smart. And I was like shocked. It made me rethink the whole priorities and everything. I was like, maybe you don't even have to be beautiful to be as amazing as my mom is. So I think that was the base for me, that I don't want to be seen beautiful. I want to be seen as someone smart or creative or talented. It means so much more to me.
I think it's amazing that you had that kind of foundation. It's quite unusual. You know, usually it's a journey to get to that point, and it's fantastic that you have that very early on. You have said in the past that beautiful makeup bores you. So I'm interested to know what initially, at least, inspired you to become a makeup artist.
Yeah, this is a very funny story as well, because to be honest, I was never interested in makeup, and I never wanted to be a makeup artist. My love career dream was, first I wanted to be like a designer, after a stylist, but it just turned out that I'm pretty tasteless and talentless, so I had to move on.
That is not true at all.
It's a little bit true. It's a little bit true.
Beg to differ, but you carry on.
Yeah. And the next thing, I went to the school to study styling, and there were signs that this will be not my path. But the thing was that I learned that I don't even care about clothes. What I love is photography. So that was the next big love. And I even wanted to try to study photography as well, but I had really bad experiences with the school I attended at that time. So I was there and I felt that I have no talent. I'm not good in anything. What should I do? I was totally desperate. And one of my friends just turned at me and asked, like, Esther, why don't you try makeup? And I was like, okay, I can try that. And this is how I went to makeup school. So it's pretty amazing that it was kind of a coincidence.
And did you learn? Did you learn how to, you know, professionally put on makeup, or were you self-taught?
No, I went to two different makeup schools as well. And I was pretty lucky with the first one, because I think I'm only interested in makeup today because I had a really good teacher. When I went to the school, it just clicked in the minute. So it was perfect. And I was so happy, because all my life I was searching for the one hidden talent I have. And makeup was it, I guess.
You must be eternally grateful to that friend who suggested it. One of the other things that you have previously said, which I found interesting, was that you felt beauty and perfection are overrated, and that you're going against society's obsession with beauty and youth. And your Instagram account and brand now, Makeup Brutalism, is exactly this. It pays homage, I guess, to what you yourself have called ugly aesthetics, and it challenges society's standard of beauty. So in an industry where even the most successful makeup artists still uphold and even perpetuate, you know, society's very narrow ideals of beauty, I'm wondering how you were able to feel confident enough to shape your own narrative and aesthetic when it seems so different to what everyone else is doing and is being celebrated for, and, you know, and there being a commercial success for it.
So, yeah, about makeup artistry, the thing is that it is maybe a little bit controversial right now to say that, but makeup artists are like providing services. You are a team player, you're making compromises. As a makeup artist, you are not there to have an opinion or to judge anything. So for me to be totally alone in the decision making, I needed my own project, and this was Makeup Brutalism. Because here I am like the model, the photographer, the creative, the art director, the makeup artist, everyone. So it's like 100% my vision. And I really love to keep it that way, because if there's another person in that project, it's not just yours. And I need in makeup realism that I need it to be mine. It sounds selfish. I know it sounds pretty selfish, but makeup realism is an art project of me. It's about me. Even if it's selfish, it's true. So I guess this is why it works so much, because I don't need to make compromises with anyone else, just with myself.
I was saying that's a really powerful position to be in. And I think in many ways, you know, that's what every creative aspires to, you know, to be in that situation where you don't have to compromise creatively. Let's talk about the other platform you have, or well, you could call it a community, a hashtag, you know, the ugly revolution that you have created. And this is a platform to share so-called ugly beauty. Many people would argue, however, that this concept of ugly beauty is something of an oxymoron, you know, that things are either beautiful or they are ugly. They cannot be both. And then again, both are very subjective. I'd love to hear your thoughts around this.
Yeah. What's really important here, that I personally do not even believe in beauty at all. I don't think it's real. At this point, it's just changing too fast to be real. Because what's a flaw today can be the biggest trend tomorrow. So what's the point? I don't even get it at this point. Everything is just super quick. But with ugly makeup revolution, the word ugly is just pure gaslighting. But this is what people are interested in like big words like ugly. But what I really meant here is not ugly at all. I don't think those makeups are ugly. Those are irregular. But when this whole journey started with ugly makeup revolution, it was a joke. Like, I don't know, under some of the posts we were talking about with some of the followers, then someone commented that what I did was ugly, and we made a joke out of it that, okay, maybe we need to make a revolution out of it, and this will be the ugly makeup revolution. And I just made a hashtag, but just for fun. I had no intention with it at all. And after, I just used it with all my... When I posted something, I just used the hashtag. And I checked it like a month or 2 months later, and hundreds and thousands of people, a lot of people just started to use it as well. And I felt that this, okay, maybe we can call it a little movement or something. It was born even without me.
It's interesting when you talk about this idea of ugly and beauty in many ways not really meaning anything, because one day one thing can be a trend and then the next day it's not, and so on. I read a piece actually that talked about extreme makeup or ugly makeup in the context of a trend. You know, it called it the new self-care and the new sort of act of wellness. And to be honest, I read it and I rolled my eyes, because like you, I agree that it's like we're constantly grasping at something or anything or everything that we can call a trend or something that we can put in a box just in order for us to constrain it or define it or both, rather than just allowing whatever it is to exist. So I've seen your work being described as conceptual and controversial and raw, which is interesting in the sense that aligns itself very much to being an artist as opposed to, you know, what people consider a makeup artist today. A lot of your work has, of course, been embraced and has been lauded, but it's also been quite polarizing. This has led to a plethora of hate comments. You have a powerful quote on one of your Makeup Brutalism t-shirts that says, "I'm famous enough for people to wish me death and blindness." And this was in relation to someone commenting that you should pour bleach into your eyes after you posted one of your images on Instagram. How have you been able to deal with this kind of vitriol? And why do you think your work creates such strong reactions?
Yeah, I think that people have a misconception with other people on Instagram who has bigger followings, because they think if you have such a big following, you are automatically an influencer, which is not true. They are used to influencers have to be nice with everyone. They have to please everyone with their posts and opinions. And it's okay like that, but I am not an influencer. I'm not on Instagram to please anyone. And I think they find it offensive that I don't apologize for my opinions. My Instagram is, yeah, I'm a selfish person, but yeah, my Instagram is about myself. And my art is kind of my therapy. So if people do not like it, I'm totally okay with that. But I think that's this approach is a little bit new for a lot of people.
Do you think it's that people are afraid of something that seems so, to use one of your words, seems so irregular in terms of interpreting beauty? Do people find that quite scary? Do they find it quite terrifying because it goes against everything that they think is beautiful? I mean, why do you think they react in such a violent way in that sense?
That's a really good question. Maybe we should ask them, why is it so important to have an opinion on everything? And why is it so important to judge everything around us all the time? I don't know. Probably they are just not used to these things, or they are not able to, a lot of people are just not able to think outside the dualities, like it's beautiful or ugly, but there are a lot of more qualities which are so much more interesting. Like makeup, for me, makeup should be, what I do as Makeup Brutalism is that my looks should be stimulating in any way. It doesn't have to be beautiful, it doesn't have to be ugly, but it's so good if you can make a little impact on someone with just one picture. It's so interesting because, as I said before, everything is so quick. Like when we are scrolling our feeds, we have like just a few seconds to make an impact on others. And if you can do it with one picture, I think this is amazing.
So how do you see the future of beauty? And what role would you like to play in it?
This is a really hard question. I wish that people could be more honest with themselves, because if you're honest with yourself, you can grow, and this is so important. Maybe I have to start it from the very beginning, because a lot of people say that makeup is self-expression. It's more like creating a desired self, how you want to represent yourself. This is what you do with all the clothing, with the makeup. You create your desired self. But I mean, you are yourself if you are in the bathtub naked with no makeup as well. That's who you are. And it would be so cool if the desired you and the real you could be get closer. Because this is freedom. If you like yourself, that's freedom. There's so much more space for playfulness, for creativity, if you are free. Hopefully it will happen someday.
And how do you see your role in making it happen?
What I can do here, that I try to create this reality for myself, but I will do it online so everyone can see it as well. And maybe they will feel that, okay, if she can do it, I can do it too.
So Esther, the close-up circled eye and typography, I guess, could be seen as your signature. Why do you use these so much in your work? What do they represent?
The thing is that I'm in love with literature and poetry. And I always said that there are two types of person, one who loves numbers and the other who loves letters. And I'm absolutely a letter kind of person. So I love to even to read, even to write poems. And probably that's why I'm pretty much attached to text art as well, conceptual text art as well. And if you put everything together, what I like makeup, photography, literature, text art, this is what you get. So it's like a cool little mixture of everything I like in one.
And so what next for you? Because your work really is, yes, many would call you a makeup artist, but in many ways, it's so different, as I mentioned, it's so different to what most makeup artists are doing and the path that most makeup artists are going down. And I wonder how long you'll continue to work in that particular space and whether you'll move that to a different platform or a different sort of creative avenue. I mean, what do you see as being your future in this space as a creative?
It is funny because most of the people do not call me a makeup artist at all. And what I do, they always said, this is not even makeup. So for the most people, it is quite surprising when they figure out that I work as a makeup artist for more than 10 years now. So it's quite funny. But to be honest, first, yeah, Makeup Brutalism was a side project of a makeup artist. But now it's more like an artist identity of me. And I feel that at this point, I am more like Makeup Brutalism as Esther Magyar, the makeup artist. So for the future, my dreams are to make exhibitions about makeup brutalism. I have so many ideas about installations, for example. And it's not the funny thing is, I'm not thinking in pictures, mostly in installations or videos or artifacts. And the other dream of mine is to publish a book about makeup brutalism. So in my future plans, I don't really have space for makeup. Maybe I will switch full if I can.
Fascinating. Thank you so much, Esther. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful note to end on. Esther, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please see the episode's notes.